Hi, this is Dave Kruger. Welcome to the other Early Birds. I'm really eager to get started with our collaboration about writing your first book. I appreciate the responses I've gotten. I didn't get the list of the attendees, the final list of the attendees, until very recently, so I didn't get an email out except just a bit ago, and there are two questions on it. And you can respond now or think about it and send me an email. What would you most like to accomplish in this seminar series? And if this were remarkably successful for you, what would you take away from our time together? You'll notice that those are the first two questions of developing a coaching story with a client. What do you want to focus on, and where would you like us to get to? So you will see at the link that you have, that you were directed to, and I resent in the email, that link has the outline, the workbook, and the four ports where the recordings will be after they're posted, and it will probably be the next day. So I'd suggest at least printing the outline and follow along, and use the workbook, the four seminars that we'll discuss: the art, the craft, the science, and the business of telling your and selling your story, is paired with the outline and the workbook. So you'll see that this develops. I'd suggest looking at the exercises and the work tools and the workbook, seeing at least some or a few that might be helpful to you to further this process in between our seminars. So welcome. I'm excited about doing this together. Does anyone want to add anything about what you would like to get out of our collaboration together, or what you really would hope we would focus on and develop? Any brave souls want to venture forth here? Well, if you think of something and if you want to respond to those questions as you think about it, fire an email. You have my email. You can just return anything that you want to say about either of those. So I'll go on lecture mode in just a moment, but I want to reserve some time at the beginning, and I hope at the end also to answer any questions or clarifications or for a discussion. There's a lot of material I want to discover and create together with you, and I'll do that on lecture mode. I prefer a seminar format, but this will be more a presentation in the middle. So any other questions or clarifications at this point from anyone? Well, I'll put us on lecture mode, but reserve some time at the end for any clarification or questions that you have, or additions that you want to add. Okay, I would suggest two things. Right now, take a moment to write the title of the book you intend to write or in the process of writing. The title, and if you have it, the subtitle, we'll talk about both, but just right now. Secondly, think about this for just a second. What is the story you're telling yourself about your book? Listen for the positive development. Listen for developing a plan, for creating a system to do your book. That's what we're going to be talking about. And listen also if there's anything that interferes, any internal bargaining, like, well, you know, after I get my schedule clear, maybe beginning the spring, or, you know, I need to just do some more research before anything that may be a limiting assumption, be aware of that and just begin to write. You know, you don't have to have an inspiration. All you need is an alarm clock and a plan. We're going to look at the plan in a much more fully developed way than that, I guarantee you. So first, we're going to talk about the art of writing in our first seminar, and then in the subsequent seminars, the craft, the science, and the business of your writing. First, the preparation, the backstory. It's been said that just about every smart, sensitive person has a desire to write a book, because writing is a natural way for us to learn, express, integrate, maybe even really feel alive. More than 80% of adults in America say they want to publish, but just over 1% actually do. And that includes articles, editorials, blogs, not just books. So first, decide if you have a message, a blog series, an article, or a book. A message is a written or spoken communication of an idea or point of view. An article can convey a message. A short series of blog posts can succinctly spread even a complex message. So what we're going to discuss will be a systematic way to engage any one of these, but we're going to focus on your book. A nonfiction book builds a case, develops and illustrates a theme. The book needs a story to hold its richness. It carries the reader along its course of reason, illustrating the application. The story evolves your position, your presentation, your argument with complexity and depth. And the irony, though, as Seth Godin points out, the market demands that you summarize your book in a blog post. So that also is a developed skill. Traditional advice has been to write about what you know. Here's another, I think, much more exciting and creative possibility. Write to see what you have to say. Write about what you most want to or need to learn or immerse yourself in. Here's a sidebar story. At a conference many years ago when I was still practicing psychoanalysis, I was talking with a friend who was an excellent clinician. As we discussed the paper just presented, I asked when he was going to write a paper, because I knew he had some things to say. He said, well, I'm going to wait until I'm sure I have something to say. And I knew at that moment that he would never present a paper at that or any other conference or write a paper. And unfortunately, that was the case. Those of you who have trained or mentored with me know that not knowing anything has never stopped me from talking. And it will not tonight or subsequent evening. So we're going to discuss how to write in a systematic, structured way for effective and successful results. We'll talk about what happens next when you schedule an appointment with yourself to write. We'll discuss the art, the craft, the science, and the business of authoring your book. In short, how to tell and how to sell your story. First, commitment. A prerequisite is a commitment and a game plan. You know the words of somebody who's not really committed. I'll try, I should, I ought to, I want to, I need to. The words of someone committed, I will. And one of the great philosophers of the 20th century said, try not, do, or do not. There is no try. Of course, that was Yoda, The Empire Strikes Back. And think about the difference between a 99% commitment and a 100% commitment. Here's the Texas version of that. A fish has no use for a lake that has water 99% of the time. USA Today did a study on individuals who made New Year's resolutions. They found two groups, those who made a New Year's resolution and wrote it down, and those who didn't write it down, but still made a resolution. Those who didn't put their goal in writing, 4% kept their resolution. Of those who wrote down their resolution, 44% kept it. Here's, and I look for simple studies that illustrate things. Here's a study out of the University of Waterloo. A large number of people were divided into two groups, matched as evenly as possible. Half read a passage in a book out loud. Half read the passage silently. They were both given a test on the content of the material. Those who read it out loud did 40% better than those who read it silently. They put it in an output channel that completes the circuitry in the brain and makes it more of a story, and it makes it more accessible and retrievable. That's why, or one of the reasons, I suggested you write down the things, the answers, your answers to the question at the beginning. So when you write in this USA Today study, when you write down a commitment, it produces a tenfold difference of follow-through. So write down your commitment to complete your book. Neuroscience teaches us the brain works like a travel agent. Back in the day, if you remember, the first two questions a travel agent asks, where do you want to go? When do you want to get there? So program your brain to complete the book in a specific way. Create a system. If you want to change or you want to do something, focus on the system, not just the result or the goal only. So how passionately do you want to tell and sell your story? Here's one unknown author, and I heard him personally tell this story. He had a collection of heartwarming stories that he thought would make a good book back when he started writing. He shopped his idea to every publisher he could find. There was no success. He shopped it to 141 publishers and was rejected by every one of them. He believed in his book, though, but he was repeatedly told that it just wouldn't appeal to audiences. So he decided to publish it himself, and this was back in the time when self-publishing was not the most pristine way to go. And he began selling it out of the back of his car. It had a really unlikely title, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Jack Canfield talked about there was also a fluke of marketing, not a fluke because he planned this. He gave it to all the people in the courtroom and the jurors at the O.J. Simpson trial. And when the camera scanned the jurors during a break, a bunch of them were reading his book. Well, guess what happened? So how do you write a book? Consider a related question. How do you find a yellow Jeep? Some of you have heard me tell this story. Close your eyes, take a very deep breath, and picture a yellow Jeep. Walk toward the Jeep and notice the trim, the bumper, the tires. Walk around the back and notice exactly how that yellow Jeep looks. As you walk around to the front, notice the headlights. Look through the windshield. As you come back to the driver's side door, notice how firm and cool the handle feels when you open it. As you sit down, be aware of the smell, the firmness of the seat. As you grab the wheel and look out the windshield, imagine yourself driving it. Turn the ignition. Hear the sound of the motor. Feel the vibration. Again, imagine as you look at the dash panel through the windshield about what it's like to drive it. Now, as you get out and close the door, hear the firmness of the closure. As you walk away, turn around one more time to look at that yellow Jeep. Now, open your eyes. This is the way I began a workshop, a number of executives, there were 26 executives at the time, who wanted me to do a workshop with them for writing a first book. And this is exactly what I did. The first thing I asked was, how many of you in the past month have seen a yellow Jeep? And one out of the 26 raised his hand. That was it. I then told the story that I just, the exercise I just did with you, and asked them, if they happened to see a yellow Jeep in the next week, would they email or call or contact me in some way? 24 out of the 26 saw a yellow Jeep within 3 days. Now, what happened? A yellow Jeep was coded in their radar to be able to recognize it when they saw it, just like we did. So, if you happen to see a yellow Jeep, think about how your book can manifest in this way. When you begin to write a book, you decide what you're going to write about, get a focus, and you begin to see all kinds of things that will relate to your books. You begin to read in a different way. You begin to hear stories in a different way that will relate to your book. So this, and our brains can't tell the difference between what we actually visualize and what comes in through our optic nerve. So if you repeat a vision, then it hardwires your brain in a permanent way to then create a way to back into that with a plan and a system. So once you genuinely see yourself completing your book, all sorts of things begin to happen. You code your radar for writing your book, including listening right now. So we'll discuss how to evolve that vision. So here's an exercise on choice. I'd like you to do this with me. Remember, we're on lecture mode, so nobody can hear you, at least on the line. I would like you, as soon as I ask you a question, to say out loud the answer. And it may feel a little goofy, but try it anyhow. Say out loud two things you can't do. Like, I can't finish the article I'm writing. I can't get the clutter out of my office. Two things that you can't do right now, or have felt you can't do, out loud. Now, say those in sequence, except this time, change can't to won't. I won't finish this article I'm writing. I won't get this clutter out of my office. Say it out loud with won't in that sentence. Now, I'd like you to say this sentence out loud 3 times. I am always free to change my mind. Out loud 3 times. Now, once you're aware of choice, all you have to do is the next right thing. If you want to do something that is complex or that you're really passionate about, create a system. That's what we're going to be talking about. So once you begin thinking about your specific book, you begin to hear things in different ways. You begin to hear examples. You begin to think about stories. You begin to think about how you would tell the story. Incidents become vignettes. Ideas begin to crystallize. You think about what you want to say, and you become aware of how you want to say it. You become a better listener, which makes you a better speaker, and you become a better and different reader. Now, here's a caveat. No one ever sits down to write a book. If you do that, you'll fail every time. You sit down maybe to write a few sentences, maybe a page. Mozart never sat down to write an opera. He had a medley in his head and let it speak to him until the story of the music emerged, but he had a system to capture that. So the most important thing about a goal is having one. The most important thing about a plan is to have a plan, a system, and to stick to it. That's all you need. You don't need motivation. You don't need inspiration. Wisdom is to know the right path. Integrity is to take it. A clearly defined goal can capture imagination and inspire passion. It can orient what you do. Think about how you work with a client and develop a story of a coaching story for that session. You focus on what the client wants, you get from the client, what the client wants to focus on, where they want to get to, and you successively approximate that for the entire time. You create a system, a story. Every story has three components: a beginning, middle, and end, a challenge, a development, a resolution, whether it's a novel, a blog, or a coaching story. So here's how a goal can make a difference. 51 publishers turned down Richard Bach's Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He took it to 52. At 211 degrees, water's hot. One more degree, and it boils. To get what you've never had, you'll probably have to do what you've never done, and you'll need a system to do it. Lord Eliot put it really simply. Perseverance is not a long race. It's many short races, one after another. So, here are some guiding questions. Three questions to clarify as you begin to write. One, what do you want to write? Two, what do you want to gain? And three, who do you want to reach? That's the empathic position to recognize and speak to or write for a specific audience. We'll come back to that, and I'll share some personal things that you may be helpful or you may never want to know, but just some illustrations. So here are some reflections to begin your first book. Before you begin your first chapter, now, you one, write for a specific preferred audience. You may want everybody to read it. Remember how in the beginning you wanted to coach everybody about anything and how it felt like a kind of disappointment to narrow it down until it paid off. Two, envision your audience. Create a persona for the first, maybe the two or three prototypes of those who you will write for and speak directly to them. When you speak to an audience, it becomes a different level of communication, one that you're attuned to the audience, not just writing and in a personal reverie. Three, write a focused, compelling, understandable, and enjoyable conversation. Now, I'll tell you the way that I do this. Everything I've written from blog, from complex emails to blogs to articles, books, scientific papers earlier, I dictate. And I do a digital dictation device because I'm talking to somebody and I don't have any interference with that. And I'm in a kind of reverie. I'm speaking to a person or people and I capture it, upload it to iDictate, and they send back the transcription of it. That makes it really easy. That's my style. We'll talk about personal styles and getting to know what style will work best for you and to incorporate that. What's your aha, your good news? I'd suggest writing these down. This is all in the outline that you want to convey in the book. Five, what will your book do uniquely well? That needs to be really clear, as well as who you're talking to and what your aha is that you're conveying. Then you may want to reach out for feedback for other people, opinion molders, focus groups, talking with people, not as much about your book, but about the ideas and getting feedback and using that. So An initial step to create your book is to fully accept the reality of the process of writing and to evolve your identity as an author. I'll share a personal experience that was pivotal for me. I was writing this was back when I was a psychoanalyst and psychiatrist, and I was writing the first really personal book. And at that time, psychoanalysts didn't put anything about themselves in the public domain because it might interfere or contaminate the possibility of working. But I really wanted to write a book about parenting. It was my therapy for when my oldest was about a year and a half from leaving, and I knew that I was going to need some personal therapy. I decided I would be my best therapist and write about it. And it concluded like 3 years later when my youngest left. And this was my personal reverie. It was my personal way of letting go of mourning, of reflecting on what was most important thing in the world to me at that time, which was parenting. So I went to a summer writer's workshop at the University of Iowa, and that's where I'd seen some of the writers I'd most respected, to do a writing course that might apply to the book. And one of the first things I shared, my hesitation, my ambivalence about writing this book that would be necessarily some very personal things that potentially my current or future patients may see. And I got some immensely helpful feedback from the instructor and from the other people at the workshop. When you're writing, you're not an analyst, you're not a father, you're an author. So write as your subtitle says. The title, working title at the time, was Making Memories, Reflections from the Heart of a Father and the Mind of a Psychoanalyst. And the feedback was, write like your subtitle says, from your heart and your mind. 8, you are thinking and feeling a book into existence. Then you'll craft it into a powerful message and hopefully a memorable story. What you imagine guides your endeavor, and you learn what your book is about by thinking and writing. So here's the most, I think, important advice I could give, whether you're thinking about writing a blog or a book or an article. Write about what you most want to learn, because that's going to be the kind of internal guidance and development and excitement of discovery and creation. And then 10, you get your book done well by willing yourself to plan, organize, think, revise, tolerate confusion and uncertainty. The principle is do whatever it takes. So this is something that I want to develop with you as a way for you to think about your development as a writer and what you want to write about and how you engage that process. So think about how, when you sit down, first of all, we'll talk about more of the structure of this, but when you sit down to write, you're not doing it by inspiration. As I said, you're doing it by the alarm clock. When you create a structure, for example, to write for an hour, 4 days a week, at a specific time, and you're loyal to that, and remember, you don't need motivation, you don't need inspiration, you need a structure, a system. When you do it, when you sit down to write, think about how you enter a state of mind. We're going to talk about that a bit more, and I'll give you some examples from different authors. But think about how you engage a state of mind to be creative, to do what you want to do and need to do, to be fully focused of what you decide, what segment of that writing you decide to do for that period of time, let's say that hour, that your subject is guiding you, but you focus on one particular aspect. Let's say you're going to read two papers that are written, two white papers on this subject, and then you're going to put those down and write or dictate or type your own responses and experiences. And then that can take on a life of its own. And you won't need, ultimately, the white papers or the research or the other stimulation, although it may be a way you decide to write. So let's look now at the who, what, where, when, and how of writing. Who is it that you write for? The most authentic answer, I believe, is for yourself. When you speak in writing, you may do that best by having an intended audience. Who's your audience? If you can, identify specifically the audience you will address. And that's where I mentioned the prototype people, the basic audience you have in mind. The more specifically you can envision the reader, the more specifically and meaningfully and authentically you'll be able to speak. John Updike said, "I write to the person a little to the left and below the center of Kansas." One strategy to develop this a little bit further is to envision a persona, the characterization of an ideal reader. Develop that persona fully. And I know a number of authors who really develop the personas of the people they're writing for, just as they develop the personas of the characters that inhabit, let's say, their novels. That development, they know where, they may never mention it, but they know what color eyes that person has, what grades they made in algebra in high school. They've developed an entire person, so when they inhabit that character to speak, if that's their style, it's authentic. So, develop that persona. Who that person is, location, age, occupation, marital, family status. By the time you develop two or three ideal personas of your intended audience, you have an idea who it is you'll be speaking to. Your conversation comes alive as you talk to them. Make it easy to connect. Create a conversation. This is the beginning of a community. You're speaking to a group of people you know their challenges, their issues. In my more recent writing, I've been speaking to the people I do mentor coaching with, to the coaches who I train, the executives, the athletes, the artists who I work with, and I know their experiences. I'm speaking to that and really capture as best I can what would be of help to them or what might be useful to them. Secondly, the what. You must respect the marketplace. Be attuned to needs. Provide answers. Make your approaches to answers accessible. Be attuned to what someone else wants and needs. Now, beyond that, you have to be true to your own story. Who you are is your gift to your readers. Writing is not a special language. It's not a gift you were born with. Writing is thinking out loud on paper or to a dictaphone with an imagined audience. Anyone who thinks clearly should be able to write clearly. Here's a what exercise to think about before you write, perhaps. sit down and think about your idea before you begin to write about it. This may be part of getting in state, to get grounded and centered, to be fully immersed and focused for a writing experience. How will you move your idea into a specific conversation or concept or conveyance in writing? Think about what you're about to write along these lines. What is it you want to communicate? What form should this take? If you're looking at it at a broader level, what form should your book take? What chapters should be in that book? What will go into each chapter? What will you draw from your experience to enhance the book? What research will you do to deepen the quality? We're going to come back to this in the broad beginning of a systematic approach by looking at a book proposal, whether or not you plan to send it to an agent, but a book proposal is basically the blueprint of your book. It's as necessary for your book as a blueprint is to an architect, or a business plan is for a business. You're not in the business of finding readers for your words. You're in the business of finding words for your readers. This is the process that writers don't usually report, and you don't usually see the thinking part, the preparation. Think about it. You've seen writers in interviews say that their book just kind of comes out or just came to them. It does not happen in that way, I promise you. Writing is a creative pleasure, but it's also hard work. The only thing harder than writing is rewriting. Here's something I discovered, and she gave me permission to use it. One of my buddies is Jeanine Roth. She's had a number of New York Times number one bestsellers. And we were talking at one point. I did a blurb for a book that she was writing. And she was a guest of mine in a mastermind group. And one of my coaches who were participants asked her, she was an expert content contributor for the mastermind group, how many times do you usually edit something? I was astonished at what she said. She said, I've never let a piece of writing be away from my desk until I've edited it at least 30 times. I was so surprised. I mean, it works. And part of that was from feedback for her manuscript with other people. I happened to be, was fortunate enough to be one of those at points. But 30 times, I mean, come on. So where? Decide where you'll write. Virginia Woolf emphasized the importance of having a room of one's own. Get your space ready. Protect it from intrusions and noise, any distractions. Put one or two things in that space that will represent your commitment to writing. During the time you commit to write, protect that space and time from intrusions. Unplug your telephone. Unplug or disconnect pings from messages, any kind of voicemail, anything that that will be in any way a distraction from your full immersion for the time you've decided. And I'll tell you a story if we have time about how one system. I'll tell you just very briefly. Here's an example of that. I was working with a guy in mentor coaching who had a very prominent financial services group, and he was ready to move that financial services group to a regional and then hopefully a national presence. But as we worked, we both discovered that when he was immersed in something, he did really well, but he had a version of attention deficit challenges. So we created a way that he could get focused. And when he focused and worked on his computer, he was dynamite, but there were a lot of distractions, a lot of curbside consults, calls, messages, all kind of things, because he was running a firm. So we created a structure that he decided that he would be immersed in doing what he did, which was what made him immensely successful, for a four-hour period in the morning, which was his most creative time, and his assistant kept anything from happening. No phone calls, no messages, no curbside consults. And then he decided to cluster his remaining engagements in a very specific system. He did all return calls at a specific time. He did curbside consults to people in his group at a certain time. He decided to put his, and this was a little bit of nudging, his daily schedule on the left of his computer screen, hour by hour, so he knew what he was doing, put his post-it note for what he's doing this hour on the right with maybe bullets or what he wanted. So he had his entire organization right there for the day and for this hour, and he focused without interruption. Was dynamite, and he very successfully achieved and surpassed his goal when he created that system to do it. So think about guarding your writing time to allow your full immersion. Protect your time, because you have to pay for every yes with at least one no. When? Make an appointment with yourself. Choose a schedule for writing that you'll be loyal to no matter what. Everyone on earth has one thing in common. Our choices in life define us. Those who provide service to others, such as authors, money managers, therapists, leaders, teachers, coaches, especially parents, have their answers counted many times. What will yours be? Make it matter. Determine specifically what you want to convey in writing. Another sidebar personal example. When I had a full psychoanalytic practice, saw a dozen people each day plus teaching, people would ask me when I found time to write. My answer was to say as gently as possible that I never found time to write. I created time. I grew up on a farm and ranch, got up before the sun to feed cattle. So rising early is still natural for me. During all my years of parenting, I still got up early on Saturday and Sunday mornings and had 2 or 3 hours to write before my two kids woke up. So by then, I was fully ready to turn off my dictaphone at the time, roll on the floor with them the rest of the day. And again, during adolescence, I would be totally available in order to be rendered totally insignificant and be ignored, but they knew that I was there to be ignored and I was not distracted. So decide what time of the day you write best. Know your biorhythms. Think about when you're most creative. Consider what may be a natural time to write, when you have most inclination. Also, to do things like editing. Two very different parts of the brain, creative writing, editing. Each deserves its own time. Writing and editing, two states of mind, best not combined. So decide when to do each. So here's my best piece of advice to you. Create a system, a structure, a schedule, and just start writing. Start simple. Start slow. Start now. Perhaps the most literate answer to the when question was offered over 900 years ago by Rashi, the great Torah commentator, who said, whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. The how. Recognize your natural style of writing. Do you learn best visually, auditory, kinesthetic? Respect that style as you write. Some of you may do it visually, like a keyboard, seeing the words appear on the screen. If you're primarily an auditory person, maybe use a dictation device. You know, as I said, I've written every chapter, every first draft, as well as other things, in that way. When I talk, I envision the person, the audience, because that's the way I spend my day, talking to people. Earlier, I did it in therapy and analysis. Now I do it in coaching. So if you think you'll do better writing longhand, get a lot of yellow pads, the ones with the really thick backs, because somehow that makes writers do better. Consider also your work and performance styles. Those elements aren't talked about as much, but I consider them very useful in writing as well as in coaching. Now, you can find a paper on some of this at my website, mentorpath.com. You'll see it on the bottom of my email, and it's in the article section toward brain hardware optimization. And it's about incorporating your style into what you do. Now, one suggestion, whenever you have an idea, even if it doesn't come during your specified writing time, write it down. Capture it. Get it into some tangible form. Research on memory tells us that a new idea or fact lasts an average of 40 seconds in short-term memory, and unless you write it down to review, after that, it's gone. So here's an application of that, along with another piece of unasked-for advice. You just need three things to be a writer. Now, this is a highly personalized list. A digital dictation device, cargo pants for the winter, cargo shorts all other times. I'm in Houston. We have two seasons. Hot and not. We are right in the middle of not right now. Note the cargo pants. Every cargo pant has a bottom pocket that you can put a moleskin little journal and a pen in. For whenever you have an idea, you have captured that idea or that thought. So think about how you can make it easy for yourself and not lose any ideas. One suggestion, haven't you had the experience of thinking of a great phrase or a really catchy way to say something and think, well, I'm sure I'll remember this later, and later comes and you don't. So one principle we know from coaching, when people are asked what they intend to do, they're more likely to act according to how they answer. When you ask people the day before an election if they intend to vote, it increases the probability of they're going to vote by 25%. In a study of 40,000 subjects, the question was, do you intend to buy a new car? Being asked that question increased purchase rates 35% because we want to act according to what we see as part of our identity. When we commit to something verbally or in writing, we want to follow through. Another factor that increases the likelihood of desirable behavior is asking people whether they intend to eat certain foods, to diet, or to exercise. One of the basic steps in coaching is to make sure each session includes framing an action plan for the next week that the client intends commits to do. Now think back about the questions I asked you at the beginning of this seminar. So, your commitment to yourself. Write down the who, what, where, when, and how for you. Specifically address your intention and your plan, your system. Remember, you do not need motivation to do anything. You need a plan and to stick to it. You need a map. Make an appointment with yourself and keep it with the same loyalty that you would an appointment with your doctor or dentist or accountant or anyone in your family. Writing doesn't come about through inspiration. It happens when you decide to sit down and write. Clarissa Pecola Estes said, to be ourselves, causes us to be exiled by many others, and yet to comply with what others want causes us to be exiled from ourselves. That's where having your own point of reference, your own system, will be necessary to write. Now, there's a natural, innate energy inside each of us to create. When we open ourselves to our creativity, we allow our internal experience to flow through whatever channels are natural, words, pictures, movement. Creativity is a part of life. We have to have the framework for that, though. As you began the process of, and the writing time and getting in state each time, and as you began the process of your book, don't compare your inside with somebody else's outside. Somebody else's outside may be, oh man, look at what all they, look, they wrote this entire book. And when you pick up the book to read it, it's going to seem daunting. But that author didn't begin with that complete book. That author began with an idea, crafted a few lines, and then reworked it again and again, sometimes editing as much as 30 times. A great deal of thinking and a great deal of reading are required to write a book. Writers, in discussing their books after they're published, omit or minimize the amount of work that went into the completion of the book. Now, that's a nostalgia bias. Nostalgia is remembering not as it was, but as better than it was. Airbrushed memories set on an idealized stage. When we compare our inside, our hope for our book, with their outside, a completed published book, that's not apples to apples. We don't take into account the true scope of the work. Again, no one ever sat down to write a book. You sit down to write a few sentences. You sit down for an hour at your desk. You stay there at the time you've decided to commit to writing, just in case some string of words occurs to you or some expression that you create or capture. Some writers set a word quota for the day. 250 words is one full double-spaced page. So, I want to conclude with 10 caveats for writers. The most important thing about a plan is having one. The second most important thing about a plan or a system is sticking to it. Like in coaching, when you ask the client what the client wants to focus on, where they want to go, those are the two coordinates of the map. When you have a map, you know where you are, you know where you're going, you can measure progress along the way, and you can also tell what's deviation and distraction. Two, think about writing in a systematic way. Maybe that's writing every day, at least a bit. It will help you think like a writer. Three, read every day. It will help you think like a writer communicating to a reader. Four, write in a voice that sounds like you. Writing's not a contest. Writing is a transaction between two people or for a group, you and the reader. So sound like yourself and be yourself. If you don't say indeed, don't write it. If you don't say one would think, then don't write it. That's why I dictate, because I get all convoluted when I start. If I'm talking to somebody, at least I sound sort of halfway reasonable. Five, use language simply and warmly. You'll be able to make any subject clear by reducing it to good, clear, specific English. A simple, clear, brief sentence is no accident. How you write will be how you're perceived. Your writing may be the only way to introduce yourself to people who never have or will meet you. To someone whose business, trust, affection, or money is what would be helpful to you. Seven, keep the burden of clarity. Writing is about creating meaning. Rewriting is about crafting meaning to make it optimally useful and accessible for the reader. Plan from the beginning to keep the burden of clarity of communication. Don't shift it to the reader or listener. In this way, you maintain ownership of responsibility to your reader. Eight, have the end in mind from the beginning. In the film The Lookout, Lewis, a blind man, helps his mentally challenged roommate make sense of things by thinking of his day as a story. Lewis said to his roommate, "Start at the end. Can't tell a story if you don't know where it's going." 9. Take some positive action toward your goal every day, even if it's just one. At the end of the month, you'll have 30 completed actions. If you write just 2 paragraphs a day, you'll have 60 paragraphs. And that's a bunch. That's a West Texas literary term, by the way. 10. Decide what you want. Believe it's possible. A belief is a filter between reality and our perception. A belief is the mind's command to the brain, the software program that determines our behavior. We now know that beliefs can actually turn genes on or off. So highlight this equation in your outline. Beliefs drive behavior. Behavior drives performance. You can change your life by changing your beliefs. Also be aware, either consciously or unconsciously, and you'll be more aware as you listen very carefully, to limiting beliefs. Well, you know, I need to be confident before I can really start this. Or, you know, I need to have some experience before I can actually offer my coaching service to someone. Our possibilities are only limited to the ones we allow ourselves to see. So here's a final story I want to share with you. A destitute young housewife had almost no money. She couldn't afford a babysitter or a computer, but she had a story to tell, and she was determined to do that and decided to write. When she first thought of what she wanted to write, she was on a train and didn't have a pen. She was too shy to ask, so she forgot some of her initial ideas. Then as soon as she started writing, her mother died at age 45 from multiple sclerosis. Her marriage to an abusive husband ended in a divorce. Shortly after that, she had a miscarriage. After that, she got fired from her job and lived on government welfare. But she took her new baby to a coffee shop in the middle of the afternoon and wrote on a legal pad while her baby napped. She did that every afternoon for 4 years, just during the nap. Then, after much work, she finally found a publisher for Harry Potter. And her last Potter book sold 11 million copies in the first hour, the record for all of history. She became the first billionaire author. So here's an exercise I want to suggest, and this may cut into discussion and question time, but I would suggest this exercise in the next 24 hours. Just write it down now and think about returning to it or doing it at the end of the seminar. Sketch 2 things. Sketch the cover of your book. Right now, make it up if you haven't already. The title, the subtitle, your name on that cover as author. 2, a sketch of that book on a shelf at a brick-and-mortar store, a local independent bookstore, a chain, or on a table at the back of the room where you present. Sketch that picture of your book in a context where others see it. We're in discussion mode. We only have a minute or two. Are there any clarifications or questions? I want to emphasize, if you have questions or clarifications or want to respond to those 2 questions or have any comment, please feel free to email me. But in anything, just briefly right now. Well, I appreciate your attendance. I see the number of people who are attending. I appreciate that. And the recording will be posted by tomorrow. Feel free to email me questions or responses to those two questions. I look forward to picking up with you right here next time. Thanks very, very much, and I hope you're launching on thinking about your book maybe in a different way as we're beginning a discussion and this collaboration. So take good care of yourselves. We'll pick up right here next week. Thanks very, very much. See you guys.
Wow.